Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is the Sherpa Short titled Juice the Fruit, where Drew and I are joined by Vaughn Lilly of the Nova Registry, where we talk about some of the things that they're doing with the .link TLD and what's coming up with the new gTLD round opening up at the end of the month. Specifically, we discuss how this new round is different from the prior one, how the auction process will work this time around for contended TLDs, and what will be some of the most sought-after extensions. We also talk about Nova's plans and strategies for the new round, their Supernova 200 announcement, and how this new gTLD round will impact .com domain names. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Skiv.com, formerly Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And big shout out to Unstoppable Domains. Unstoppable gives you the most cutting edge tools to buy and sell domains. You get free back orders, their API, and their new AI assistant for easily searching and managing domains. Plus, build your own custom landers and SEO content with their AI site builder. Try them out at unstoppabledomains.com. And also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Adam. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to dnx.com today. And also, big shout out to appraise.net, instant AI-powered domain appraisals with retail price ranges and detailed justification for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or building your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Beyond the range, each appraisal includes a breakdown of the domain's multicultural reach, strengths and weaknesses, and a market analysis covering the best use case, industry, and likely buyer profile. Get your first month for just $1 at appraise.net/domain. Domain Sherpa. And last but not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. So with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short, where we pick a domain topic to dig into. Maybe we bring on a special guest, which in this case, we do have a special guest, and I'll get to that. And then we'll talk about all things that we want to talk about and have a little bit of fun, and maybe y'all might learn something. So with that, let's go ahead and introduce my co-host. Over to my left, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up, get Rick rolled, Graybeard, the Domain Pirate, the Domain Don, all that good stuff with us today. What's up, dude?
I have a domain offer you can't refuse.
You know, not much, you know, just selling domains, you know. That's it. I'm heads down right now. You know what I mean?
That's it. I like it. Let's keep it simple, man. That's it. Yep. That's it. Let's do it. All right. Well, cool. Well, great. Great to have you on the show. Appreciate it as always. And last, but certainly not least, we got our special guest, the one and only Vaughn Lilly, a.k.a. Lilly Nova, a.k.a. Theo Vaughn, a.k.a. Stevie Ray Vaughn, a.k.a. Vaughn the Road Again, a.k.a. Let's Get It Vaughn. So let me give a quick bio. So he's the general manager of the Nova Registry, the company behind .link, the top-level domain. With more than a decade of experience in the domain industry, he's been credited with helping build and boost .link through strategic partnerships, product-led thinking, and fresh approach to registry growth. Under his leadership, Nova has pushed .link into categories like branded links, link and bio tools, QR code designations, digital identity, and other link-driven products and platforms. And now with ICANN's 2026 new gTLD application window set to open, at the end of this month, Nova is signaling even bigger ambitions into the next round. Vaughn, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm really great. Thank you, JT, and thank you for having me, and good afternoon, Andrew. It's a real pleasure. It's a real pleasure. So this has been on my bucket list, actually. So I've watched from afar, and I see the good and the great come on the show. And I was like, I wonder if one day I'll ever, you know, get invited on here. And today's my day, and I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
Delighted to have you.
Yeah, 100%, man. Well, we've known each other.
It's a long time coming.
Yes. Well,
for sure. You know, and I was just going to say, we've known you for a long time. And, you know, it's always great when we can get friends on here that are doing really good things. And, you know, obviously we've got a lot of respect and admiration for, you know, what you guys are doing with .link and everything else. So, and it could not be a better time, man, with the new application round and everything you guys have going on. It's really kind of perfect. And so happy to have you here. And I guess I'll kick it to Drew to see if you want to open up with a particular question or sort of thing. Otherwise, you know, we've got...
I'll be honest, you know, JT dropped the ball a little bit on scheduling this. I actually was hoping to get you on like a month earlier, but it's all good.
I think the timing is actually better because the window actually opens on the 30th of...
it's go time.
I think the timing's actually good on it.
Thank you.
You know, the point being,
any opportunity to hit me though, you know,
I'm like hot and cold, you know what I mean? On whether or not I want to apply for one, two, you know, registry strings. The thing is, you know, we own one and it really just makes no sense as an individual string operator. It just doesn't, the economics aren't there, but, there's still some part of my ego that wants to just own, you know, part of the root. And that was the reason I bought one in the first place. And then it was a pain in the ass, so I sold it. And now I feel like I'm jonesing to have one again. But so I want to just sort of walk through, because to me, you know, even though, you know, we could call the last round imperfect in its sort of incentive model around applicants and settlement of, you know, strings, at least it was sort of like a free market, more or less free market. You know, I liked this creative auction mechanism. I liked the sort of pay to play, you know, get paid to play model for a variety of reasons. I've invested in companies that have created, you know, auction mechanisms that do something similar, but I think even better. And the reason I like these forms of markets is that I think it drives true price discovery, because there's an actual incentive to participate. So you drive maximum participation of all, let's say, qualified and knowledgeable parties at any given one month time. And if you can drive maximum participation, and these are all qualified, high intent participants in a market, then you drive true price discovery, right? Just for any moment in time, you get true price discovery, in my opinion. So I really like the mechanism, even though it does create some nausea and certainly it creates bad optics, but it was a true price discovery mechanism. Maybe we should have just changed who gets the money, but it makes no sense to me how these are going to be settled in this round. And that was really one of the things I wanted to understand two things from you today. There's a lot more I know that we'll probably get into, but the two things that I personally was just very curious about is, one, how the hell, because I think there's going to be some very contested strings, how the hell does the settlement mechanism work this time? Mm-hmm. And then two, and then how will that settlement mechanism affect, you know, pricing,
right?
Ultimate sale price of the string. And then two is the idea of premium pricing from the registry across an individual TLD, meaning not all SLDs renew at the same price under right. The same TLD. And that whole concept has made my brain hurt for, you know, since 2014 or so when we got the first ones coming out.
Right.
And it just rubs me wrong.
All right. Well, let's start.
But, so anyway, those are the two things I wanted to get into the most. Let's start with wherever you think we should start.
Well, we can get straight into the auction piece. That's absolutely not a problem. So, this time round, there are going to be no private auctions. So there is going to be an auction mechanism, but that is actually going to be run by ICANN.
And so, a standard auction. Highest bidder wins, everybody else loses, period.
Absolutely. So I actually do think that that will have almost a purifying effect on the establishment of the price that you were talking about. The reason being that in the last round, you could participate in the auction, you could lose, but still be a winner, right? Yep. In other words, if there were three individual parties that were going to auction as a mechanism of last resort, and let's say the winning bid was $10 million, the two losers would get $5 million each. And so what you had actually in that situation, certainly in the last round, people were...
Well, that's not actually true. What the winner paid was the second highest bid, and yeah, the proceeds of that were distributed to the other parties in a pro rata. So it wasn't 50-50, but it was a pro rata.
Well, I think we should check that, because I think it was 50-50.
Yeah, I do think
it was an equal distribution among the losers?
It was, yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that's stupid. Yeah, that's stupid.
Well, it's but so what it actually encouraged people to apply for TLDs. And in actual fact, some people made an awful lot of money by losing.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, they were potentially the real winners. And the reason being is because they were actually able to scoop significant amount of capital off the table, had no responsibility in terms of actually launching and running the TLDs, right? And in many respects, one feeds into the other headache, right, in terms of pricing, because the more you spend for a TLD at auction, you're actually going to carry that cost forward into your launch plan. So I actually think that this time round, by not having these private auctions, but it's basically a very level playing field. Now I think you're in a...
I am a hardcore free market maximalist.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I think to say that it's purifying the result is wrong. The true market value is what any participant is willing to pay.
Right.
And whether they're incentivized or not. Because as long as it's a true auction where the winner actually has to pay, there is no off ramp.
Yeah.
These are guaranteed bids, then that's the price.
Okay. Let me ask you a question back the other way then. Have you ever been in an auction to buy a domain name where you got bid up and you ended up overpaying for a name? And
every day.
Okay. So, you know, I guess in many respects,
the only way that can be fraudulent is if they knew what I was willing to pay.
We're not talking about fraud, but
no, I know. But my point is as long as I was still willing to overpay what that person was bidding,
right?
That's the price. That's right. That's what the value was of that day.
Totally understand. But if there was a scenario where you could be sure that the people that you were competing against were bona fide, they weren't gaming the system, would you be more happy with that or less happy than that with that?
I don't understand the question.
Well, so in other words, if
doesn't understand it or doesn't want to answer it.
Well, I think I know the answer.
Obviously, I'm always happier to pay the cheapest price.
Of course.
But from a market perspective of which is, you know, I would think the point of an auction in this context for, you know, individual TLDs, what's this TLD worth? What is dot crypto worth, right? What's that worth?
It's
none of us know until qualified, bona fide participants could bid in an open market.
Question there, Drew. Bona fide, qualified participants. That's all we're talking about. That's the subtle change from last time. So this is better for you as a consumer. It's better for your listeners. Is what's actually happening is that the true speculation of people who are participating and actually would prefer to lose are going to find it really hard to operate in this next round. So that's what I mean by the distillation.
There's no benefit in this round to losing. Is that right?
Correct.
None.
Well, unless, I mean, there is the counter argument that sometimes have you ever lost a deal and then months after you go,
sure. Yeah. Okay. Buyer's remorse. Sure.
So I think it insulates people from, you know, participating who've got no real intention. And actually, when you submit your application this time round, you have to attest that this is a bona fide application, right? So in
you
that-
You want to win, you want to run a registry on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's a better setup.
I think that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's
so good. You agree that it's not such a bad thing?
I'm not saying bad, good, bad, or otherwise. I just like creative incentive structures that drive true price discovery.
Yeah.
But in the context of this, like, I get it. And in the lens of looking at what happened the last time, it makes sense. You know, I think that the model last time is good. It just, the distribution was wrong. But
well, and I also think there's another thing there as well, Andrew, to think about as well. In a scenario where you can apply, you can take part in an auction, you can lose, you can take that money, you can use it for other applications. I don't think there's any secret that some of the TLDs that were applied for last time around and delegated have not been sparkling successes, right? So we have the 80-20 rule, right? The 80% of the revenue or registrations come from 20% of the TLD. So,
and it's probably actually more like 95-5 in this particular case. I mean, there's only how many, do you know how many TLDs from the 2012 round have achieved, let's say, 100,000 domain registrations or more?
Well, if you go down the list on NTLD,
is it 3, 5?
No, there's more than that, but it goes off a cliff pretty quickly. It does.
Is XYZ the number one?
We'd have to have a look. It may well be in terms of names and engagement, but again, that's a vanity metric as well. By the
sure, way. Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
It's not a true indicator. I mean, I'm not saying that it isn't, but it's certainly not an absolute indicator of that.
No, absolutely. I mean, you can give them away. You can stuff them in people's, you know, accounts. You know, you can do all kinds of different marketing tactics in order to increase, you know, pure just registration numbers.
So what it's worth, really quick, the XYZ is the top with over 10 million domains currently registered, right? And then .top.
Shout out XYZ, 10 million, that's a big number.
.shop, .online, .store, .site.
What's Shop got?
Shop has over 6 million. And
so here's the thing. That went for 42, 43 million at auction.
A lot of money.
A lot of money, right?
A lot of money.
So you've got to have a significant names under management. You've got to have a significant renewal rate to actually make
the get that back.
Absolutely. And Hero at GMO has done a great job with that TLD. He's done a great job with it. He's a good guy. You know, it's a good TLD. They duke it out with the boys over at Radix with .store.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a bit of a geographic difference because in certain parts of the world, people sort of gravitate towards a shop and other people in the US particularly, you know, go towards a store. But that's a really good example. Think about that in the context of this round, right? So there's no gamification. When you come to the table and you're going to put 43 million bucks on the table at auction, it's you've got to be really clear on what it is that you're doing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so how do you think, I mean, to me, it's clear that that will temper, you know, bids. And, you know, if something was going to sell for 43 million in that last round with a lot of incentive for people to participate and even arguably to drive the price up so the reward was higher, if they knew there was somebody that was, you know, ride or die for a TLD, which, you know, there were some. You know, there was some knowledge going into this. There were certain people that wanted certain TLDs and they were, you know, ride or die for that TLD. Then, you know, there certainly was an incentive to bid them up and, you know, not speculating that that's what anybody did, but, you know, certainly there's an incentive that could drive those prices higher. Is how much, you know, I guess it's not a fair question, but like, certainly, it seems like this new structure will temper bids. So do you think, like, let's say Doc Crypto, for example, which will be, you know, clearly will be in the round, clearly will be highly contested. What do you think that goes for in this round?
Well, I actually don't think that the enthusiasm for that TLD in terms of the amount of money that people are willing to pay at auction is going to diminish. I actually think it's going to go higher than it would have done in the last round. Reason being,
really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. The reason that I actually believe that to be true, Andrew, is look at the companies that have already declared their interest in applying for these TLDs, right? Some of these guys have got massive war chests.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They've got far more money than the likes of, you know, Frank and other guys in the last round. We're talking about big companies. You're talking about...
Yeah, yeah, real money. Real money.
Real money.
Yeah.
So I actually think for those hotly contested TLDs, I think that's going to go up. I actually think...
You think that's going for over 100?
I think it's going to be knocking on the door, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you've got to... In the context of what's the total market value of crypto and cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
And if somebody wins...
I mean, look, if you just look at one major player without naming names and you say, you know, what's their market cap? And,
yeah,
you know, if they're generating... you know, 5 to 10 billion in net cash flow a year to spend 100 million and get Doc Crypto and own that TLD and be able to, you know, allocate wallets on that TLD and do whatever fun and games they want to do. I don't know if there's a business case, but it's a small enough number for them that it's worth the punt.
Correct.
Well, so quick question. Is it known what all the auctions closed at last round? I mean, I know we know some of them, but are some...
Yeah, well, some of them I think are private. There's some statistics out there that you can find, but, you know, yeah.
What's the highest? What's the...
Well, .web was the highest, right? That was... What did that go for? That was like 140 or some stupid number.
135 million .web.
Yeah.
And that is still mired in litigation. That's not even delegated.
Didn't that just... I thought that just resolved.
No. Not to my knowledge. And I talked to somebody who's in the know less than 2 weeks ago, and they said, it's a long way.
You know, it's funny. I was involved with, you know, web.com. We filed an application on .web and, you know, but it's been a long time since I was, you know,
9 years. It's either 9 or 10 years since that. So this is another consideration as well, right? Is people are now going to turn up the application.
What do you mean 9 or 10 years? It's like 14 years.
Well, I think the litigation has been going for 9 or 10
years. Oh, the litigation.
Yeah, because it was a few years in when they finally, you know, when Verisign won it.
Yeah.
bought the winner, basically, you know.
So now you've got to start thinking a bit more strategically. So imagine if you make an application for a TLD, the application fee alone is $227,000. You're going to have to do a risk assessment. How likely is this to get mired in red tape? You know, because
you tie up that capital and then you get tied up in litigation. There's a high holding cost.
Absolutely.
So was the 135, was that the highest amount that's, you know, on record for a TLD in the first round? Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you think there'll be multiple ones this time around that'll surpass that?
No, I think there's certainly a couple of them that'll push the 100 million mark.
I mean, Doc Crypto, .BTC, just to name a couple, right? Then you've got
Agent.
I think those are the only two that will go for that kind of money.
Well, then you've got the old AI thing as well.
Yeah, so then you've got .agents.
Yeah.
I don't know that they'll push up on that, but maybe. Then maybe.
Well, I think some of these AI companies have already started, you know, making noises that they're willing to come in with rather deep pockets.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can push weight. So, you know, you could see those going to the...
.chat? Is .chat available?
Huh?
It's already
.chat's already out there.
Yeah. Okay.
That chat's already out there, but no agents yet.
And then the other consideration here, Andrew, which actually leads into the second question you're asking about premium names and how do you set the prices on these things? Your cost of acquisition of the TLD application fee in auction, you're then going to have to do some maths in terms of, okay, premium pricing strategy. What is our regular pricing strategy? You know, it's going to have to play in. So one of the things that we talked about, you know, prior to coming on air was the big differences between 2012 and this round, I think that people are a bit more educated and a bit more savvy than they were then. Reason being is not because they weren't smart people, but it was a bit of an unknown. And I think what's actually happened is now that there's a more awareness of what it takes to make TLDs.
Yeah, so, sure. Yeah.
You know, and you know that yourself from your own experience participating in the auction, right? It's a non-trivial undertaking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we didn't participate in the auction. Well, we participated in Frank's auction. I just bought one for Frank.
Well, I was alluding to because we were, that's how we acquired .link. And that is 5 years ago. Think about 5 years ago this month, right?
Is that true? Is that 5 years ago?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, there was just the jump off of COVID.
Yep. And then we all had another 12 months while we sat on waiting on ICANN.
The whole mess.
Well, and I think that brings up an interesting point when you talk about the auction process, right? So no private auctions this time around. So ICANN is going to get the money. So then, because I think that kind of, you know, Drew's piece was around, you know, sort of like a true market value being established through the private auctions. I guess for me, it's more about where is the money better served, right? Is it better served being distributed back to the, you know, the participants, or is it better off going to ICANN? Because ICANN's war chest now is going to be.
Yeah, they're going to have a big ass war chest. They better get busy. Like, go make domains great again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, no. You know, and many a true word said in jest, Drew. You're absolutely right. Right, it's going to. So
they're going to end up with a multi-billion-dollar war chest.
Well, they took in the auctions last time yielded over $1 billion.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be the same again, I suspect.
You think more or less? You taking the over or the under on this one?
I think it'll be over.
Yeah, over. I think so too. I think it'll be double.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I think you're going to see a lot of .brand applicants.
Well, and of course this is, and I, you know, I'm a bit like Marmite. Some people love me and some people hate me. You know,
I'm a bit like that myself.
Yeah, no, and I like that about you, Drew, actually. At least you've got an opinion. At least you've got an opinion, right?
Yeah.
There are probably more consultants than there are applicants this time around. You know?
Yeah.
Apply for your .brand or we'll help you do that. And I'm like...
I mean, there hasn't really been a success case in the
I was just going to say, I don't know about the .brand stuff to you me, know, I Tim, think is...
As reluctant as I am to say it, actually, I think the best use of a .brand that I've seen is Google.
Right.
Google, because Google is so,
Google,
you know, thick-headed that they refuse to buy domains and like redirect those domains to the various products and services. Like Amazon is so kind to their customers to do, but Google doesn't do that. But now what they've done is they've taken the .google and they start moving, you know, creating domains for the products and services on .google. And at the end of the day, I think that's, you know, a smart idea. It's a smart thing to do.
Yeah. Certainly, I was a little, I just didn't quite understand them getting rid of their registrar business to Squarespace, I have to say.
Made no sense to me. That was like, what?
What are you doing? Yeah.
And that was like for a fart in the wind. That was a non-material number on their P&L. Yeah. I don't understand what the logic was there. Like domains are literally that like constraint that kind of ties everything together. Why would you want to give up that?
Yeah.
The idea of like just Google and Gmail is such a big product. Google Workspace is literally like the core of their enterprise outside of hosting.
Right.
And it's so easy to make that live on top of their domain business. That shocked me. Absolutely shocked me.
Well, what was very interesting at the time is Matt Mullenweg was mildly miffed that he missed out on that deal, right? He was, so I heard, he was pissed. And so here's the trickle-down effect, the hidden consequences of such things. Then they were offering free transfers. So you had a bunch of people. Because he'd lost the deal and then he was offering free transfers, take your name over to WordPress. I mean, they were like paying people to move their book. Yeah, who's that? It's like,
yeah, and for folks who don't know, Matt Mullenweg, the CEO of Automattic and WordPress, and you know, so it's that would have been a great fit for them.
I was a speaker at a domain conference years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I think that to Drew's point, what I thought was the most surprising about Google selling off the registrar piece was that it was for an amount that just does not matter to them. So it's like
$180 million or something. It wasn't.
It was a rounding error for them.
It was a rounding error.
So it's just a very interesting. Are they? Well, so here's because I don't know the answer. I mean, is Google typically divest like and sell off like portions of the business that don't?
No, quite the opposite. Only when the government forces them to. And maybe that was a concern. Maybe there was some kind of, you know, but I don't know.
Anti-vertical integration.
Kind yeah, of thing. Yeah.
But it's allowed. So it's not like.
I know, but I don't know. I have no other explanation for it.
So back to one of your other questions. I think they're going to be, you know, the consultants are all out there banging the dot brand drum.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, there are more consultants than there are probably applicants.
Yeah.
And I think that this is actually going to call for the successful guys are the ones who are going to pick good TLDs that have
uncontested.
Yeah. That have got, you know, use cases already identified.
It's the guys with the high sharps.
Well, and I would say that our very own Yoni Belousov is probably.
I think Yoni's got the highest sharp ratio in the domain industry.
Well, and I think he has, and Yoni and I talked about this. So just over a year ago, because we'd watched all these other people out there talking about, we're going to apply for this, we're going to apply for that. And I said to Yoni, I said, listen, I've got an idea. We know we're going to apply for a number of TLDs. I said, so why do this? Why don't we make an announcement the week before ICANN in Seattle and let the market know that we are going to apply for 200 TLDs?
Yeah.
And that actually was a masterstroke, I have to say, because it's changed everything. Because we went from literally, I mean, complete unknowns in terms of people knew me and they knew Yoni and whatnot. But Nova Registry, they're just a new registry operator running .link. All of a sudden, we got people's attention, right? And the what's been quite interesting is if you actually do the multiplication of the math, so $227,000 per application, you become very interesting to pretty much everybody when they think you're going to put $45 million down on the table to apply for TLDs.
Yeah.
The thing at this point in time, Drew, is they don't know whether we're serious or not. Can Yoni actually bankroll this? Can he not? You know? And it's like, okay, this is exactly what we're going to be doing. You know, we've already picked our list of strings. We're going to be doing this. And basically, I think something that people haven't or didn't understand at the time, the acquisition of .link, that it was predated by a decision to apply in the next round. So actually, .link has been a test bed.
Yeah.
We've been using it to identify the points of friction.
100%, yeah.
Doesn't work. So that now, when we actually, the investment is made in the TLDs, we're in much better shape. And
so you know, 200 TLDs, that's the target number.
Yeah. Supernova 200.
And I don't want you guys to, you know, give away the secret sauce here, but I know that Yoni's taking a different tact than most people or let's say than, you know, what would be the, you know, sort of obvious tact that most people enter these types of things with.
Yeah.
Can you give me any insight into sort of how you're looking at it?
No.
Okay. And
we are looking at it strategically. We are.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I guess what I meant was like, are you looking for people, places, and things? Is it hobbies? Is there any sort of thread that runs through some bulk part of the strategy?
As a mixture. There is an absolute mixture. And I think that, you know, a decent percentage of them are going to be Web3 crypto related.
Okay.
You know, but we've got other verticals, other markets that we're going to be going.
Yeah.
Targeting where we see there is an established want and need. We already know that from conversations with various platform providers and partners.
Yeah.
And you know, Yoni, he likes to think a little bit outside the box. So it's going to be a non-standard approach.
Yeah.
We're sort of gearing up and waiting for these guys have completely lost their marbles sort of, you know, comments coming through, which is absolutely fine. You know, Yoni has got a vision. We have a strategy. We've got this all laid out. And we're not overconfident, so we're not getting over our skis, but I think we're going to be a surprise. The surprise package.
Yeah. When you lose an auction, is your application fee completely lost?
No. Well, yes, it is. If you lose the auction, yes, it is. Yeah. But so the way the system works now is that this is also a bit of a difference between now and the last round. So when you apply for a TLD, you can elect to include in your application a replacement string, right? So we could, let's say, for example, we applied for Dot Rosner, but you know, our replacement string could be
Dot Tenenbaum.
Yeah, whatever it happens to be, right?
Yeah.
So post-reveal, if you're in contention, you have got a window of opportunity to actually say, right, I don't want to proceed with my Dot Rosner application, and I will go with my Tenenbaum application, as long as you're not going into contention.
Okay. So if your second one is contended.
You cannot switch into contention.
Okay. Is there a third backup or no?
No.
No, shit out of luck.
But if you decide you're in contention and you're like, listen, there's no way I'm going to win against Coinbase, for example, you can actually withdraw and you'll get a refund. I think it's 65%. The further you go through the process,
you can fold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But once you get into the auction, there's no folding.
That's it. No turning back.
You're in for the ride. So,
yeah. So it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very, very completely different dynamics than the last time in the way that people approach this. And you really, it's funny. You've been saying it from the beginning. I listened to you. You did a great interview with Andrew Alleman on Domain Name Wire and a month or two ago. And you know, you were saying exactly what you're saying here, which is, you know, don't be silly. If you're going to enter this party, you better come ready to play because it really is going to be, you're going to lay out real money that you're not going to get back.
Yeah.
And once you're in it, I don't think people are going to really realize how serious this is, you know, until they're probably already in the hot water.
I mean, I think to your point earlier about some of these strings, right? Like the Dot Crypto type strings and others, you know, will be
everything that's attractive is going to be contested. Everything that's obvious.
Because you've also got companies that have sold domain names that, you know, they're going to try to backstop with actual, you know, accreditation and other things. And, you know, there's definitely some folks that are already invested. So,
well, JT, who are you talking about there specifically? Because I know you guys like to be a bit edgy. Shall we just get straight to that one?
No, I mean, look.
No, we don't.
I'm a little upset that Yoni wouldn't let me put some money into this deal. You know what I mean? I wanted to.
Oh no!
On a back horse too. But
so here's the good news, Andrew.
Yeah.
You will have your opportunity again.
Okay.
Right, and because we are going to be doing a raise.
Oh.
All right, and we will. You will have the opportunity, if you want, to invest in the business. And you can either do that, invest in the company. We're going to be doing a raise. We're bankrolling the applications, right?
Yep.
So that's all covered. We're going to do all the donkey work, all of the, you know, filing the forms. We're accredited with ICANN. We've gone through the whole KYC. You know, it's, but the funds are, you know, bona fide. There's nothing hokey about this because we actually do think there are people like yourself and others, either companies or individuals who are interested in it. And we've had numerous approaches from people who, and this is actually ties back to the point you were just making, right? Is once you're in, you better be sure you've got enough to win. Otherwise, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
We've had a few folks approach and say, well, we're interested in this TLD and interested in that TLD. I'm not going to disclose the actual organization, but I asked them how much did they have to spend at auction on BTC, right? If you do not have the pocketbook to go all the way, stay at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
Give me
your over under on BTC.
What do I think it is going to be or what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to be in the tens of millions.
Not 100? You think crypto goes for more?
No, I think it could be pushing up there. I do.
Between the two, though? Dot crypto, dot BTC, dot Bitcoin? What do you guys
think? It's very interesting because, it's almost an analogy of reality. It's like, dot BTC doesn't represent a company and therefore is a decentralized market for that TLD.
Yeah.
Crypto does and doesn't. It sort of has the community.
Other considerations here. So this is going to be a bit of an insider tip, right? Because I always believe that if when you're on a voyage of discovery, you should bring a few gifts, right? So,
okay.
I think the price of some of these TLDs at auction will also be reliant on existing namespaces and what, if any, liability already exists with names in the Web3 space, right? Because if you end up in a situation where the original Web3 TLD operator doesn't win, he's got another issue now in terms of collision, rights protection mechanisms, the whole thing. So I think that's also got a potential to have a chilling effect on the overall number that somebody's willing to pay, because you can end up buying also litigation. Unwittingly, you could end up in litigation for a TLD that, you'd not catered or planned for that particular eventuality.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be popcorn.
Oh, no, it is. And then what happens if you overpay early in the auction? So you've got a set amount of money, you get a bit giddy. It's a bit like gambling on a horse. You put 100 on it to win. It doesn't come past the post. You don't get your money back from the bookies.
Yeah. From my perspective, you could, answer, don't answer, but I think if I had to guess, Yanni's approach to this is like 99% of the strings that he wants, he believes are going to be uncontested. Like, I can't picture Yanni wanting to target highly contested strings, because I think that there will be enough competition for obvious stuff that the prices aren't going to make sense.
Correct.
Unless the entire domain registration paradigm shifts, which it may, but not immediately, where .coms aren't $10 anymore and VeriSign gets the green light to charge, $50 or $100. And
I also think there's another thing here is the evolution of AI, right? So the bias towards .com will diminish over time, right? And I know this is probably going to get some of your listeners the hairs on fire, but agents don't care. They'll just pick what's suitable based on the prompts or the instructions that it's given.
So I was where you're at a few months ago, and I've recently come back around, as I seem to always do. .com's king, .com's going to always be king.
No doubt.
And it's not, this isn't some anti-CCTLD bullshit at all. It's just literally thinking through the likely outcomes. There is going to be an enormous new demand for an agentic-driven web that is going to become entirely almost segregated from a human-driven web, right?
Correct.
There's the web that we know and love, and then there's the internet that doesn't need a web on top that is agentic-driven, where it's just agents need to capture information, basically find data, interpret data, move data, you know, interact data.
And to your point, and I agree with you, so I'm not anti.com, by the way, far from it. I think the mitigating circumstance here is going to be the agents are going to have limited funds available to register names, right?
Yeah.
And the .com ones are going to be, they're going to basically clean out the wallet, right?
Sure.
Because it's a different use case. So I'm with you. I think there's going to be...
Well, that's it. It's a bifurcation. You'll have an agentic web, and you'll have an agentic internet and a human web.
Yeah.
And that, but there will continue to be a very strong, if not even stronger, demand for brand. I think that really brand is going to be even stronger. A lot of brands will die, but the brand, the successful brands in this new paradigm are going to be, there will be even more brand, what is a brand affinity? There will be even stronger brand affinity, I believe, for a variety of reasons that we don't need to get into now. But, and I think ultimately what we'll see is as cost structures of companies decrease and brand affinity increases, I think it's really just going to do what it always does, which is increase the value of premium.coms, increase the affinity of premium.coms, increase the trust signal of premium.coms. Everything else basically benefits as, you know, the trickle-down effect happens. But but at the same time, you're 100% right. There will be this entirely new agentic internet where it will be about very low-cost, easy domain registrations that are not complicated and that can be registered by the agents and assigned to machines, assigned to individual agents, assigned to individual projects. And
I think
that could far surpass the entire number of registered domains on the entire internet today.
And I actually think, Andrew, that's why somebody like yourself in your position, you could edge your bets, right? Because you do very well with .com. But I actually think there's a compelling reason to invest in the next round because one will actually drive the other.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was, I've kicked myself nearly daily since 2012, you know, because I was young, stupid, and had a much bigger ego. And I looked at this as, well, I know how to invest.
Now he's still the same, just not young, but continue.
I was, you know, I know how to invest in domain names and, you know, this CCTLD shit, this is bullshit. And, you know, I looked at it as an, you know, as an idiot. I just looked at it as a domain investor. And I was like, as a domain investor, none of this shit makes sense.
Yeah.
And I was mostly right. Not entirely, but I was mostly right. And, but what I missed is that as an operator, this is like literally one of God's greatest business models ever bestowed upon us mere humans. And that I completely missed that, the entirety of it in the first round. And I literally kicked myself on the daily because of that. I really, it makes me question my
good news is
belief intelligence.
And I'm sure you're not on your own. And I would include myself in that group of people. If only I knew then what I knew now, right?
Yeah.
But the next round presents a great opportunity for people that didn't get a ticket first time round, right? So this is almost like a concert. You missed your favorite band on the first tour, but they come again. And this is a new
album. But you don't get to see your favorite brand, your favorite bands in this one. This is the beat, you know, this is the B team.
It isn't like the
country music festival instead of.
I think that's it. Well, hold on. That's an interesting point because, you know, obviously there were a lot of, you know, great words that were applied for and that, you know, that were, you know, delegated in the last round, but not have all become successful TLDs, right? So I think that's something that you see that, you know, there's plenty of stuff that just hasn't worked, right? Now, it'll be interesting and as, you know, times change and trends change. So now we're in this, you know, crypto has exploded even more. AI is now everything. So, you know, there are going to be interesting opportunities.
Most of the TLDs that did not succeed, though. Okay. Back up. There are the ones that, in my opinion, were good strengths and should be successful and under with better operators and a more clear pricing structure, they would be successful.
Yeah.
However, there are let's just, I am, you know, not going to name names, but there are a lot of registries that I think have had a fatal fucking error in the way that they price their TLDs. Number one, in registration price, but also two, in the you know, fluctuating renewals and changing prices, and it's a mess and nobody understands what they're buying. And for that very reason, people just avoid it altogether. As soon as you make something confusing, people just go, my brain hurts, moving on. You're already at best second choice, whatever your TLD is, right? And this is such an important perspective that I think people fail to capture. No matter what, in 99.99999% of occasions, if you are not .com, your TLD string is second best at best, meaning it could be the second or the third or the fifth or the 100th choice for that registrar. But it's never the first, almost never the first choice. And so, in fact, I would say .ai is like the first time we've ever seen where there was actually a preference in some cases for the .ai over the .com. First time ever of any new TLD entrant. Now, where was I going with this? The hell was I talking about?
Well, we were talking about which ones were successful.
Oh, Andrew, and I actually think it's a really good example, right? Com versus AI.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's actually the market is driving the adoption. And it's not the domain market that's driving.
Yeah, totally.
Right? And I think this...
Actually, I'm not sure that that's entirely true.
Well, I would disagree with you. And the reason that I would disagree with you, because AI has been around a long time. Mm-hmm. It's the country code for Anguilla. Mm-hmm. And until AI caught fire, it was a bit blah, wasn't it? Sure. Now all of a sudden it's flavor of the month, right? That's got absolutely nothing to do with the registrars, very little to do with the registry, very little to do with the RSP. It's got everything to do with AI as a subject. My opinion.
Yes. I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want this to be an AI conversation. There are nuances to that.
But on the pricing, because that's where we're going on the pricing. So a couple of things. And I'm going to, this is an unashamed plug, but it's highly relevant in the context of this. We have not changed the wholesale price for a standard .link name since we took over the TLD.
Yeah.
In large part because the previous operator changed the pricing without any notice and basically got turfed off the GoDaddy storefront. Not the best idea, right?
Yeah.
We have introduced some new tiers, very clean tiers for the .link TLD.
Yeah.
We run a high model. In other words, what you pay to register, you pay to renew. We're not gouging. So there's not this massive disparity between what you pay and what you renew. If you see value in it and you're happy with it, you'll renew. And if not, you won't. Our renewal rates on premium names are north of 80%. Unheard of. Sales are 50%.
Yeah.
No mix, no promos, no pay to play, just basically good, honest pricing that people can believe in. That's it. And I agree with you. That's what people want.
Yeah. So, you know, how do you think about, I guess there's different ways to think about this, right? If you think about it from the business operator perspective, maximizing profit, then there's sort of market perspective, which may or may not be about optimizing profit versus optimizing number of domains being utilized in the market or, you know, some other metric. I think that registries should be able to capture some of the premium value of a TLD on their SLD. I don't really feel bad, but theoretically I feel bad for VeriSign that, you know, trillions of dollars in market cap has been created on the SLDs of their TLD.com that they are unable to capture. any of it. And I'm not sure that was the right model, right? I certainly benefit from it and I appreciate the model. But you know, anyways, but what I don't like is, I don't like the crazy ongoing renewal fees. Like I feel like you should be able to sell that name once, get the premium price for value of it.
Yeah.
Then it should renew like everything else. Everything should be the same renewal price.
Right. And I think this comes down to the actual, wholesale prices. So we have a $35 tier and you can get a really good name for $35 wholesale, whatever the markup is, you know.
Yeah.
It's not gouging. We're not talking, you know, thousands and thousands. The most expensive name, the most expensive premium tier on a Dotling name is $3,500. And for $3,500, you are getting a really good name.
Yeah.
A really good one.
Yeah. So let's say, how much is that name worth? Just a great, not the best, but, you know, some median great $3,500 per year tier name.
Well, I think it's probably an unusual one, but East Dotling went for $815,000.
Yeah, that's a highly unusual, right?
But we see
pretty regular, high five figure, low six figure sales.
High fives.
Yeah. So let's say it's $75,000. Let's say it's a $75,000 value. Let's say it's 50. Let's say you got this tier three, it's a 50 grand. Yeah. And so you got a 10-year, you know, payback period, 30, you know, so it's 35 grand, you know, basically you're extracting, you know, 80% of the value of that name at $3,500 over a 10-year period of time. And they basically are, you know, basically amortizing the cost of the name.
Sure.
And you cut out, you know, any profit center for a middleman.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing for both the market, and it's bad for me, but it's good for the market. It's good for the end user. It's good for the registry. So
yeah. Great reason to invest in TLDs, Drew.
Yeah.
Then you can also be part of the enrichment process.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that. I like getting enriched.
You know, but it is interesting because, you know, the different TLDs have different pricing structures. So it's hard to even tell which ones are truly successful, right? And I think this goes back to the idea of how many are we going to see this time around? And Drew's point where he felt like kind of all the best names were sort of already taken. And this next round, aside from a few, are going to be, you know, sort of more speculative or something like that. But
not strictly true, though, you see, because there were a lot of really good names, words that were missed last time. Right. And to your point, JT, world's moved on. The vernacular that is used today, or, you know,
there's all sorts of new stuff.
That's right. It's all changed and it'll continue to change and evolve. And what we're trying to do, and what Yoni specifically is trying to do, is predict what's going to happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes a ton of sense.
And one of the other things that I think, one of the other key considerations in all of this is what is your attitude to investment, right? So names under management, how are you going to monetize this? Over what period of time? I'm very fortunate that I work for a guy who's got a 10 to 20 year time horizon.
Yeah.
I do know that it's more difficult when you're private equity.
Slow down. 20 years is silly talk, but 10 years is
well. He's not even 40 yet.
No, I know, but it's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with the, you know, the pace of change. But
he wants to be in it for, he's saying, I'm in this for the long run, 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? And what I'm saying is, that's actually, for me, as a general manager running the TLD, and I'm going to be running this portfolio of TLDs, I've got some level of predictability in the business.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure.
What got to get a tight turnaround in 5 years to pay back the people that have invested? Because that's the model that we operate.
Yep.
And that also actually trickles down into the pricing model, right? When you've got private equity backing and they want a return, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to juice the fruit. I know there was an article a couple of days ago, you know, about PIR putting up the prices on .org and the article on Domain Name Wire by Andrew is saying this is, you know, it is because of inflation, when in actual fact, the costs associated with the back-end service provision for that TLD have reduced by tens of millions.
Inflation. I love that.
Well, it's not inflation.
In a deflationary technology.
Exactly. Exactly. So
this deflationary technology is getting awful inflationary.
Well, you gotta pay. I love the term juice the fruit. That might need to be the
juice the fruit.
You've got to pay goggles as well, right? Everybody needs to go to all these events, talk about stuff, never do anything about it, and show up at the next one. You know,
well, I think with ICANN's, you know, with the money they're going to make off of this, we'll see some pretty interesting ICANN events. Should be pretty robust, you know, as far as like,
yeah, they better. They better be, you know, bringing back the Playboy Mansion.
They were the days, right?
Were the days.
Yeah. You could get Legionnaire's
disease. Yeah, I got it. I got Legionnaire's disease. You know what I'm saying? I wear that shit like a badge of armor.
Honor.
Yeah.
What was your question, Drew?
What was my question? My question was, obviously purely speculative.
Yeah.
What do you think, if you look out over the next 5 years, you think that VeriSign is able to take the gloves off and drop their, to some degree, let's say materially increase or, you know, not by just some annual 10% or whatever, but really material price increase or entirely, you know, shift the pricing structure?
I would think that would be highly likely.
I think so too.
And let me tell you why I think it's highly likely. As we were talking before, we went live on today's episode. I'm of a certain age, and I've been very lucky. I'm Gen X, right? So I've grown up analog, digital, and whatnot. And what I do know,
last year of Gen X,
you are the last year of Gen X.
Very last year. Okay. In fact, the last 3 months of Gen X.
Oh, there you go. Well, you just squeaked in then, right?
Yeah, just squeaked in. Thank God.
And but I have seen very large tech companies peak, be very dominant, and they no longer exist.
Yeah.
Now, I suspect what's going to happen is, and the reason that I think your term was gloves are going to have to come off, is they are going to have to react to market dynamics and forces. The status quo is, it's not going to last the same as it forever.
Yeah.
Things are going to change and they're going to come under pressure, right? And we've seen that with AI and whatnot. So I think inevitably, yeah, that's going to have to change. And I think it's going to change across the piece, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think what you talked about, the bifurcation, I think the bifurcation is going to be at two levels, right? So we talked about, you know, the human side and the agentic side. I think the bifurcation will come from, you know, people who know what they're doing with good TLDs. And then you'll have all the rest that have not got a clue what they're doing and they find it really difficult.
Yeah.
Market forces, which, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, look, VeriSign is a public company.
Yeah.
You know, this is, I tell my kids when they're making a decision, always just look at what's your upside, what's your downside. You want asymmetric upside, low downside, high upside.
Yeah.
If you don't have that and it's a risky decision, the answer is no.
Yeah.
So, you know, the government, who, you know, I think the Department of Commerce, which is under the Department of Defense, which oversees the operation contract of VeriSign over .com. And, you know, their sole interest, head and shoulders above any other interest, is the good continuous running of the namespace. That's it, right? It's no bells and whistles, it's just uptime. That's it. That's really the only factor. And so you've got a public company that has a perfect track record of continuous uptime. And they're going to say it's very difficult to justify that we need to be constrained to $10, $11 a domain when you have now thousands of alternative TLDs that are all charging, you know, you're talking about $35 as the lowest tier, and that's, you know, cheap in the market.
Yeah.
You know, why should .com, the one that's dominant, be only $10 or $11, right? And that, I don't have a good answer to that argument. So I think they will ultimately find an ear that's listening to that argument. And the truth of the matter is, if you're a public company, so if you just work back the game theory, you say, okay, the government who makes a decision, their number one interest is continuous uptime, period, full stop. Great. VeriSign is the company operating. How do you guarantee continuous uptime for the current operator? Well, they're a public company. In the world of public companies, there are only two states of being. You are growing or you are dying, period. If you are dying, then there is no guarantee of continuous uptime, right? And so the only way the government can guarantee continuous uptime is to make sure that the company operating has the runway to continue to grow. And the only way that they can continue to grow is two ways. One is material growth in the in the namespace.
Yeah.
Which has more or less plateaued.
Yeah.
Or raise prices.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me,
juice the fruit.
It's like there's, you know, I don't know. I guess where you end up at the end of that tree is there's two options. One is, you know, this thing gets bid out to another company. In my opinion, zero chance. The likelihood of even a second of downtime in that handover,
yeah,
makes it already dead in the water. There's no chance that they are willing to do that, period, full stop, yeah. Right? Or let them increase prices by whatever it's going to be. But I think it's going to be more than the 10% in 5 out of 7 year thing that they got the last time.
Yeah.
And so I think we could see a very material increase in .com prices.
So in answer to that, right? So first of all, the internet domains are critical infrastructure.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, right?
Globally.
The growth in that namespace is single digit. So it's not, so, you know, the actual burden.
It's low single digits.
It is, right? I think there's a couple of other considerations, right? And I think that this is something that we are mindful of at Nova Registry, right? Is governmental intervention and geopolitics,
mm-hmm.
right? Particularly when there's large amounts of cash been handed over, which there are going to be large amounts of cash handed over through the auctions and everything
yep. else.
And at what point does somebody look at this and say, well, this is a bit of a monopoly, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's a few.
Well, who? That VeriSign is a monopoly?
No, just generally is like, is there a monopoly? You know, you could argue that they have a monopolistic position in the market because of their popularity. I'm not saying they are, by the way. I'm just saying.
I think that with these new TLDs, it becomes basically impossible to argue that.
I wouldn't disagree, but in terms
because of, it really comes down to a market preference, right? It's like, you know, McDonald's basically has a monopoly on fast food burgers because they're outselling everybody else, you know, probably 1,000 to 1.
Correct.
But it's, you know, you still got white, you know, white, whatever it's called, and White Castle, and you got, you know, In-N-Out, and you got, right? And so, you know, Burger King like .net, and, you know, White Castle's like .org. It's got a strong community.
Yeah, but I do think things are going to change. So in answer to the original question, I think undoubtedly things are going to change. And I think the environment's going to drive the change, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And it already has.
Yeah. I agree. I ask that because I think it's related to this. You know, I think that it opens the door for some, let's say, low price TLDs, you know, to enter the market to replace the sort of generic level of .com. It opens the door.
I'll write that down and tell Yoni you should be thinking about that.
Yeah. And you know, normalizing some other, let's say, pricing tiers, pricing structures. I think it's gonna have material impact in the market.
For sure.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
I think that it's really well. Oh, go ahead.
What is, so give me your top five. What are going to be the most contested TLDs? I know these are not going to be TLDs you guys are chasing. So give me your top five. What are going to be the most contested? We talked about crypto. We talked about BTC. Those are two that are really obvious.
I think wallet will be
agents, you know, but give me three or four more.
Well, I think you've got wallet, for example.
Good one. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, you know, you've got the sweatshirt on of a particular.
Is there a dot cash already or is that not?
No, I don't think so.
That could be an interesting one.
I think are you familiar with the term kids football or soccer, right?
Yeah.
It is that kids, when they're young and they start playing soccer, they all chase the ball, right? They don't have this concept of passing the ball around amongst the team. And I think the money is going to follow Web3, crypto, AI. So
yeah,
that's where it's going to be at.
Look, I mean, look, in premium domain sales, premium.com domain sales, right? This is our specialty. It's literally what we say every single week. It's like, you know, people say, well, how's the market? It's like, well, if you've got a domain name that's targeting the AI market, the crypto market, maybe crypto market a little less at the moment, but then, you know, market strong.
Yeah. No, for sure.
You know, if you're targeting like payday loans, you know, tough market, you know, the regulators have cracked down and it's a tough market now. Yep. So it's, I agree that all the money is flowing into the things. It's longevity, AI, and crypto.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, it will definitely be an interesting thing to see as it all plays out. And we've only got about five more minutes. So I think we've got to kind of hone in here. I know we've covered a lot of ground and, you know, it's been great. It actually has flown by.
No, this is great. This is a great conversation. At least he answered a lot of my questions.
And I hope we get asked back post-reveal. I think
that'll be super, super cool.
When are you gonna open up a round of investment?
When the application window is closed. But we can talk to you about that, Andrew.
Yeah, great.
Talk to you. You'll get friends and family discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You a friend and family or?
Lightly
he's like
speaking.
An adopted step cousin.
Exactly. I'm at the barbecue. I'm there. I don't know how I got there, but I'm there. Hey, I think it's all exciting. Obviously, it's going to be very, very interesting. We've got 2 weeks or so, and then how long? So the round opens up on the 30th.
30th, and it closes on the 12th of August.
Okay, so. During that time is when everyone will submit their applications, basically, is at that time.
And then the big reveal happens when?
In August. 18th of October.
And these are not blind auctions, right? These are competitive auctions.
This is not the auction. This is the reveal. So what's going to happen is
just like last time.
Application window opens on the 30th of April. It closes on the 12th of August. ICANN will validate the authenticity of the applications and the applicants.
Yep.
And they will reveal all of the applicants and the various strings. Then there is going to be a window of opportunity to invoke your right to use your replacement string as long as you're not switching into contention. Once that's all settled, then the fun's going to start. So
do you think there's going to be, you don't think there's, I mean, I have they specifically banned, like once it gets revealed who's applied for what, you can't go out and acquire a company?
There are some very specific instructions in the applicant guidebook, and there is a prohibition on communication between applicants that are in contention. And if you are found to be communicating within that blackout window, you
lose your money.
You run the risk of being disqualified.
Yeah. And
so we are very careful about any of those kinds of conversations.
Only after the reveal.
Yeah. But I think there is a window of opportunity post-reveal before you go into the blackout window where you will be able to, and the way we're thinking about it is doing the raise, actually. So now you're talking about doing a raise, a legitimate raise in a company, people buying shares.
Yeah.
Yeah. No horse trading on TLDs. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
There's a lot to it.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that's also worth mentioning, we've put almost 2 years of prep work into this because I understand the gravity of the situation. We're playing with generational wealth. It's Yanni's money. It's his kids' money. It's his
grandchildren's
money. This isn't private equity. That we're really, fastidious in terms of what we're doing and how we're doing it for that very reason.
Yeah.
I feel a great weight of responsibility, and because he's such a good guy and a nice, kind, generous individual.
Are we talking about seeing Yanni?
Yes.
I'm just kidding. Nothing but love for my brother.
Yeah. So, we're doing it the right way. And that's the other thing, right? We've built a reputation at Nova. We're innovators. We're trying to do things differently. We've got a very good TLD. We've doubled the names under management. The quality of the registrations, the quality of the renewals is very good. And it's something that we're very proud of. But it's the overnight.
And you've taken a very alternative commercial approach to the market, which I think is phenomenal. I think it's so obvious. Some of these TLDs that some of these operators have are great, phenomenal. Let's say, I don't want to say alternative in a negative sense. I don't mean this in a negative way at all. But TLDs that offer a alternative commercial approach, and nobody's taking advantage of that. Nobody's doing anything different other than just, trying to buy shelf space at the registrars. And it doesn't make any sense to me because there's some phenomenal business models that I've thought about on some of these TLDs that are just, So anyways, I commend you guys. I think that the approach you've taken, with some of the link to bio stuff and the alternative approach you've commercially taken is phenomenal. I think it's phenomenal.
We're basically,
and to your credit, man, you're doing a hell of a job on the biz dev side.
Well, that's very kind. And I must just say,
on multiple occasions, I've told JT to fly over to Malta and, learn something.
Well, I'm very lucky going back to the Gen X thing. I started my sales career at the tender age of 18, selling photocopiers door to door in the north of England. And
that was fun.
Yeah, that was pretty defining. So this is the other thing, right? Is when I now in the domain industry, this is like living in paradise for me, right? The problem is that people that think they're not in paradise, they think they're in some kind of drudgery. It's like, you couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, you don't understand.
You do not know what this is like.
Yeah.
And that keeps you grounded. It keeps you focused. We're humble, but we're hungry.
It's been my trick, man. I used to sell dead fish for 3-7% margins, right?
Yeah.
Like, listen, talking to like Mr. Lowe in Chicago and trying to make a nickel selling a container load of dead fish, like, believe me, this is like, this is a party comparatively.
People
don't understand how good we've got it. Anybody I hear complaining, I'm just like, just go.
Definitely.
Okay, go to a call center.
Yeah, agreed. And there are plenty of those in Malta.
All right. Well, look, we are at time, and but big credit to everything that Yanni and you and Dan and the rest of the team have built with everything that you guys are doing, because it's .link. There's a lot more there, and a lot more to come, obviously. And this new GTLD round is going to be extremely interesting. It's going to be potentially shifting the landscape of the domain space in a lot of ways, and I guess we'll see how it all shakes out. It's going to be something. So
go ahead. It's going to be sparkly. JT, I can tell you that. It's sparkly.
You got to juice the fruit, baby.
Are you going to have fruit. People dressed in pink, you know, purple nylon?
Is it well, going to be
How sparkly are we talking about, Vaughn?
Pinks and purples, you know.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, what do you want from me? You know, it's like you tell me.
Hey, no, but I do think that obviously it's going to be
the purple nylon that Daniel had running around.
Yeah, yeah, he had the bodysuits. They were like in those like the things you wear like on a green screen and stuff to do.
Frank sent Father Christmas to the auction out in California when he applied for Doc Christmas. Do you not remember?
Yeah.
You know, so anything's possible.
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to all of it. So, all right. Well, like I said, we're out of time, but we're very, very excited. It'll be great to have you back on the show, you know, as it goes through the process, once we're talking, you know, post reveal and, you know, as all of these things come to bear around the auctions and the delegations and the applications and all that kind of stuff, because it's going to be really, really interesting to see how it all plays out. So looking forward to having this be the first of several. And, you know, it's just a really appreciate you being on the show. Let me go around the horn really quick. Drew, thank you, as always, for being here. Always appreciate it. But Vaughn, definitely, man, great to finally have you on. And this was...
Thank you for making my dream come true.
Hey, was it everything you hoped and dreamed for?
More.
All right. We're just here to juice the
Correct
fruit.
Correct answer.
That's it. You're invited back. And I want to say to the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We say it on every show, without you, there is no us. You know, a lot to follow up on here. And obviously, you know, there's going to be some interesting developments coming from this. But, you know, definitely check out .link. So, Vaughn, from a promotional standpoint, where do you want people to go currently? You know, Nova 200, like what?
They can go, well, you can go to supernova200.link. You can go to nova.link, or if you are really serious about wanting to get involved, email me at Vaughn, V-A-U-G-H-N, at nova.link, and I will respond to sensible inquiries.
That's it. So, hey, so reach
Vaughn
out.
Vaughn is not a domain name buyer. Do not send him your garbage domain name.
Yeah, exactly right. But you know, like we say, you know, we're not hard to find, the good, the bad, the ugly, but I think it's exciting. These are exciting times, and, it will be really, really neat to see how all this plays out. So
yeah,
we'll be very much in the mix and, looking forward to all of it. And, thank you guys again for being here. And otherwise we will see everybody here next time on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We'll see you soon.
All right. Cheers.